Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Steve Sargent. I am the minister of this congregation that we call Southwest Central Church of Christ. We are so glad that you're here. If you are literally across the street from where I'm currently sitting, we're glad you're here. If you are across town, if you are another city, another country, even if you're watching this at a later time, we are so glad that you're here. Thanks for choosing to be with us this morning. What a gift that is. Well, the discerning among you might notice we are in a brand new spot this morning. We are currently in our lovely lobby of our church building. That nice rainstorm, the little storm that we had just a couple of days ago, knocked out power in our neighborhood, and it looks like this church building is the only one that's holding on, not getting its power back. So we have moved inside of the lobby instead of the auditorium, going all natural this morning. The lights from outside is illuminating my face. I'm preaching from an iPad. I have no backup battery on my phone, so if this shuts off, then sorry about that. You'll know exactly what's happening. But enough about that. I want to know how you are doing. Are you making it these groundhog kind of days? Are you breathing? Are you taking walks outside? Are you reading something other than the news? How's your mental space? Whatever it is that you're feeling, however it is that you're doing, bring it with you this morning to our very simple service today. Offer it to God and say, "This is what I've got. This is what I'm bringing." Entrust yourself again to God's Spirit. As has been our custom, we have a very simple service plan. As I mentioned, a few songs, which Brent will lead in a moment. We have a sermon, we have a prayer from the book of John coming up. We'll share communion together, so now's a great time to grab some bread, whatever you got, some juice, whatever you got. Water is just fine too. Chelsea will bless us with benediction at the very end. Well, just as we've done the last several weeks, I think we're on week 9 now, we have lit a candle to remind us that God's presence is with us anyway, no matter if we are together or apart. God's presence remains. I've had several people joke that we might have to use a blowtorch to light all these candles by the time we finally get back together. And so here's my plan for that. We're going to light 2 more candles as we finish up this John series. And then from then on out, we'll just light 1 candle a week so as not to cause a fire hazard within this building. Sound good? All right. Cora's going to come help me light 9 candles this week. It's been 9 weeks since we've met together in person in this place. So let's light these candles in honor of the God who is still among us. Our psalm for the morning comes from Psalm 66. It goes like this. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, have tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our back. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you, vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Let's sing together.
morning, church. Today we're going to sing Bind Us Together and Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, two songs that emphasize the community that we are in God's love. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love. There is only one God, there is only one King, there is only one body. That is why we can sing. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims, our one, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens there, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
For our prayer this morning, I invite you to grab your Bible, either your physical copy or the one that you have on your phone or iPad, and turn to John chapter 15. And I want to invite you to read either silently or aloud to whomever you're with. Either way is just fine. And in John chapter 15, I would like you to read verses 9 through 17 and let that be a template for your prayer today. It could simply be you read it and let that be the prayer itself, or you can let that lead you into prayer today as we continue our service. So let's do that now. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. I'll come back up in a few moments. invite our young friends, those of you who are part of Miss Martha's elementary class, part of our Roots class, if you want to grab your Leaves bulletin that looks something like this. You were able to follow along during our service, and a couple of questions and thoughts and activities on the back during the sermon specifically. I want to call your attention to that front page on the top left-hand corner where it says this: consider, list five places your feet have brought you so far today. So come up with five places your feet have brought you so far today. I'm going to give this to my daughter. She can do the same. Because during our sermon today, we're going to be talking about feet in particular. So you are welcome to move on that as we move forward in our service. For the sermon specifically, what I'd like to do, not only this sermon, but for the next 2 weeks, these last 2 weeks of our God and the Neighborhood series, is to walk through a couple of sections that we really bypassed on our journey through John that we've been doing since January. We're going to look at John chapter 13 and John chapter 14. 14 will be next week. Last week we finished up John numerically, where we moved through the chapters almost one by one, but today I want to go back into the heart of the gospel for a bit with the gospel as a whole in mind. In John chapter 13, verse 6, we read this: "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Jesus says this to Peter as Jesus comes to wash Peter's feet. Peter had just said, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" with two or three question marks attached to it. And Jesus responds, "You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you will." Peter cannot fathom the meaning of what's happening to his feet until he has the fuller picture of who Jesus is. And that won't come until Jesus rises up on that cross, and not until Jesus rises up from that grave, and not until Jesus rises up away from him. Peter, as we shall see come June, July, and August, got it. Since we live on this side of the resurrection, the saving event where Jesus freed us from all sorts of death decrees, we are afforded the wonderful opportunity to read, perhaps and hopefully, with a better understanding of what Peter himself in that moment could not discern. So that's what I'd like to do today and 7 days from now: read and hear by the light of Jesus' death and resurrection. Speaking of lights, John chapter 13 opens with them turned up to their brightest possible level, blinding almost. Gone are the crowds, gone are the adversaries except for Judas, gone are the outdoors even, where Jesus has spent so much of his time, which sounds really nice right about now. He walks into a house, sits down, his closest disciples with him, a meal before him, perhaps a day before the Passover is supposed to begin, a couple of days before Jesus' end. The spotlights overhead swing to shine directly on the person, Jesus. He is aware of what's going to come in the next 24 to 72 hours. He knows, as verse 1 says, that his time had come to leave and return to the God from whence he came. He knows, as verse 3 says, that God has given him all power, all knowledge, all things. In his final act before all chaos breaks loose, what will Jesus say with such knowledge? In that illuminated moment, what will he do with such power? Of all the choices set before him, he does the very thing that no one in the room expects him to do. He shows them the completely full extent of his agapao love, his sacrificial, others-focused love. He strips down, takes a towel, wraps it around his waist, takes a basin of water, bends low before each one of his named disciples, John, Philip, Thaddeus, Judas, and scrubs and dries their calloused feet. He does the job reserved for slaves and for underpaid domestic workers. This is how the creator and sustainer and restorer of all things shows them the full extent of his love. He will wash their feet. He will baptize their toes and their ankles with his hands. After the nervous laughter slinks away, you can imagine the silence in the room except for the sloshing of the water in the bowl and the sound of a towel drying the skin of their feet. No one says a word as Jesus makes his way around the room. It's Peter, of course, who finally raises the objection, "You are going to wash my feet?" "Yeah, I don't think so." "You'll understand soon," Jesus says to him. The best sermon I've ever heard Chelsea preach was at a camp in the mountains of New Mexico to about 50 teenagers and adults. In a calendar year where one soul-aching wound kept reproducing many more, she talked about how she handled all those hurts and pains. She attempted to compensate for them by working harder, by trying harder, by serving more, by steeling herself against the gaping wounds, by pretending everything was okay. Even though she is the person that all gifted and talented programs everywhere are modeled after, there came a point that she could take it no longer. She was suffering and drowning in a flooding mess that she never asked for, but nevertheless contributed to by believing false narratives. What saved her, she said, was when she finally allowed other people to use their God-giftedness toward her. She relented to close friends who were trying to care all along. She permitted individuals to sit with her and cry with her. Healing came when she let her feet be washed by hands not her own. What Jesus does very first by washing his disciples' feet is insist that they, before they do anything else, sit in a posture of receiving. Unless we are paying someone at a nail salon, it is in our nature to resist someone awkwardly washing our feet. We'd rather do anything else but that. And we've got our excuses down. "My feet smell. My toenails aren't trimmed. I've got this painful bunion, and no one needs to see that. You are going to wash me?" But for the church as a whole, and a person as an individual, if we are to understand any part of the character and the nature of God, we must become the recipient of the grace-filled act of Jesus. We cannot catch a glimpse of the full extent of Jesus' love for us until we sit quietly with the furthest tips of our body resting in a bowl of room temperature water. Down there, we are exposed by the light of the world, and we cannot escape its heated glow as long as his resurrected face is near our feet. We must look at the one who lived, died, and lives again, the one with a towel encircling his waist, the one who in love scrapes off the embarrassments and cleanses the shames and redeems all the unsightly stories we've stepped in along the way. This is how our continual, ongoing, everlasting healing comes as we let our feet be washed by hands not our own. This is how we come to understand who God in Christ is and who we in Christ are. When Jesus finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set for you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Few churches that I know of practice foot washing regularly. When it is done in a worship service, it's usually met with eye rolls. Do we really have to be doing this? And I get that. I don't want to take off my shoes and socks either. Beyond logistics, however, it's not just the actual practice that rubs people the wrong way. It's the meaning behind it. To wash people's feet means lowering your head, an intentional movement of descent, using your hands for something other than your personal gain. The grating of the gospel comes against many people, churched or not, who find it more convenient to stay upright and more beneficial to cling to what offers them power, or at least the illusion of it. It probably goes without saying that triumphalism and self-importance will never find their hands in a lowly bowl, nor their feet. But Jesus says to his disciples, "What I have done, you do." Disciples carry out the second washing because they have received the first. Jesus has consecrated our feet for the journey ahead, and we walk the same path he did, replicating his self-giving actions of humility and service all the way to the cross. This is what it means to die to self. These are the rights and benefits of someone called to walk in the way, which we will talk about more next Sunday. When I think about washing people's feet, what comes to mind is a VBS we did here several years ago. In what I believe was an unplanned activity that took shape literally 15 minutes before we did it, a few adult volunteers wanted to wash the children's feet as a culmination to an evening's activity. So we did. I got a blue plastic kiddie pool from the resource room. We filled up the pool from water pitchers. Like cars waiting to go through a car wash, the children lined up and one by one stepped into the pool with their bare feet and stepped out onto a towel and went on their way. What I remember best is the way that Robert Barboza, mid-70s at the time, leaned over and tenderly washed each and every foot that came through his station, as if the child himself was Jesus as an 8-year-old. And then Bonnie Darrow, sitting on her knees, dried and blessed those little feet before her, as if in that moment, nothing else in the world mattered. Thy kingdom came that night, and thy will was done on earth as it is in heaven. Since foot washing is not in vogue these days, it's not surprising and perhaps even just fine that the towel has expanded its repertoire. Cloth aprons, face masks, oven mitts, yard gloves, old t-shirts, and work jeans, when worn and used in love, no matter the task, have taken on Jesus' life pattern and made it their own. As one of our own hymns reminds us, "Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love. Show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you." Loving puts us on our knees, silently washing their feet. This is the way we should live with you. And Jesus says, "Now that you know these things, you, my friends, will be blessed if you do them." In hope and in love, together we say or we type, Amen. Before we eat and drink at the table, I've asked Brent to come and sing a song over us, a song that tells us specifically of God's great love for us. So I ask that you receive it, and then I will come back up here and talk about the table. The foot washing was done in the context of a meal, food, drink, company, and table. Jesus was about to give his body and his blood for the reconciliation of the world. And what he did was bend down and wash feet. Jesus then drew near to his disciples, and Jesus draws near to us still. For a few minutes, you are welcome to eat and drink the bread and the cup that you have before you. Pray as however you see fit, however you are led. And I will come back up here in just a few minutes. Let's do that now as we come to the table of God.
Hello. Ooh. We are coming to the end of our online Facebook Live church service this morning. I want to remind you a couple things as we're sending you out. One is just a reminder that there is giving. You can go online, go to our website, very easy to do through PayPal. Or again, you can send your offering in here to the church building, and we will receive that with open arms. So I am so glad each of you joined us here this morning, and I love the parts within Steve's sermon that he talked about, to love means that we get down on our knees. And so even though our gathering here online is ending, I think this message is going to carry us into this next week. And so may we look for ways to love others, even in this time of separation. And so I think that we can do that creatively and wash each other's feet and other feet from afar. Through letters, through phone calls, through texts, through drawings, any ways that we can think to reach out to others. May we do that in creative ways, to love our neighbors and to love God in that way. So be blessed as you go out into this week and wherever you find yourself. Thank you.
I like that.